Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Scott Spears back with you here. Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. We are back on 14 minutes past the hour on this last day of June 2021. Now, with Independence Day right around the corner, it is a big celebration here for the independence of our country. A lot of people like fireworks. A lot of people like to do quite a few things. But I did something very special this morning because I found the only person who knew George Washington and Thomas Jefferson personally, and he will be on the line with us right now. At the ripe old age of 95, he is one of our favorite guests. He is the funniest man alive, the most spontaneous at the age of 95. He is my pal, and he gets up at 10 after 6 where he is to come on this program. What a guy he is. He is a classic, no doubt about it. Who knew George Washington personally? Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
Hey, man, it's very nice. This is the way we talked in the old days. We talked like we still came from England.
You and old George, huh?
Well, there was George. I want to tell you something. They keep on saying it's the 4th of July, but actually it was the 2nd of July that they signed the paper. It was George. It was Ben Franklin, it was Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams. That was a group, and they were drinking rum. They didn't drink scotch or anything, but they drank rum.
Now, back in those days, I know you were still partaking in a nip. Did you join them?
Well, where do you think they bought the rum from? I'm a rum runner.
You know,
I had a little nip with the boys, such enjoyment on July 4th, but it was the 2nd, you see. Take it from me, that's the real date of independence.
You know, before we get back to the 4th of July, I feel bad, Shecky, because it's 6 a.m. where you are, and I know you're going to catch it later on today because I woke your wife up.
Oh, yeah, because I'm in the bedroom, and she's in the other room. Yeah.
That's
all right.
When she answered the phone, I knew that you were going to catch it later on today.
No, she's very good with that kind of stuff. She'll just file for divorce. It'll be all right.
Well, Shecky, we get a lot of calls here at the station. Last time you were on, you revealed that you had COVID-19 at the age of 95. How you doing?
I mean, you know what? I'm doing all right. The only trouble is my chest fills up a little bit. I got 95. You got to catch something. You know, I just want to catch 96.
Now, at one point we had talked when I think you were 93 or 94, and one of your doctors said you had to have an operation that on your legs or knees, was it?
Yeah, well, I had one on my knees. But let me tell you, at 95, the knees are bad, the ankles are bad, you know. I bought a new car. It was an ambulance I bought.
Just go around in the ambulance, huh?
Yeah.
Well, why not? But you do still go out. I'll call sometimes, and you're out and about. You still driving?
No. They took my car away because at 95 is when your license is up. You know? But the guy that's in charge of the driving is a very dear friend of mine. If I wanted to drive, I would get him the cheat, you know?
Would you?
He's a Mexican guy, and I love him, because every time that I want something from him, I go across the border, get him, and bring him back.
No.
Can I tell you something? We should start all over again. What's happening in this country with January 6th and all the other things, we should start over. Did we forget that we're Americans and we're all Americans fighting each other, killing each other?
You know, Shecky, every year on July 4th, we do this on the station. We play a bit from Ben Franklin where he wonders if Americans 200 years from when he was around would really appreciate what they went through to start this country. What do you think?
What do I think about what? What they did to start this country?
Yeah, do Americans today really appreciate what those guys did 200 and some odd years ago?
You know, it's really funny, but some of them, believe it or not, you know, still believed in England. You know, some of those wonderful people didn't want to leave England. I just can't picture my mother saying, "Hello, darling, could you possibly come for breakfast?" You know, I'm in.
Well, you know who I feel bad for this time of year? It is Ben Franklin, because he was too old to be president in those days, and people have kind of forgotten him, but he was a big part of the start of this country.
Yes, he went to Paris. He almost didn't come back from Paris. They had the houses of ill repute, and he stayed over there. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, they all had to go and get him. "Come on, Ben." "Oh, my goodness gracious. Are you there? I'm having so much fun here." And he invented the printing press. He did this. He was a genius.
Well, it's, you know, I say that sometimes, and people think I'm kidding, but Ben Franklin was known as a ladies' man.
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't leave his palace. Yeah, he loved it over there.
He loved the women. Now, what does Independence Day mean to you? This will be your 95th coming up.
What does it mean? Let me tell you. It means that I was born in the greatest country in the world. That is confused right now. Our politicians talk to each other much different. All those Jefferson didn't talk to Adams at times, and Adams and those guys, you know. But the genius, think of the genius of the Jeffersons, the Adams, the Franklins. And think about what the politicians we got today fighting and yelling at each other. It's a shame. Look at the way I'm fumfing. I'm fumfing because I'm 95.
Well, we can take a little bit.
You know, you know what fumfing is?
Well, what is that?
That's a Jewish word. It means when your speech is messed up. That's the problem I still have with this thing that I caught.
Now,
let me see if I can sing. I'm all right.
You're doing okay. Now, Shecky, have you got the vaccine?
Did I get the vaccine? Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, that's another thing. Look where I went to get the vaccine. Walgreens.
Oh,
I went
was
to
that?
Walgreens, a drugstore. I had to wait in line.
Now, did you have to give them your age and everything?
Oh, yeah. Well, they give you a little card, and then you wait in line. And then a girl who's got real thick glasses on says, could you give me your arm? Where is it? You know. So for a joke, I gave her my foot.
Now, I have to ask this, Shecky. When you go into places like that and they know, they find out your age, 95, does anybody ever go, "Wow"?
Yeah, they really do. Like the people, well, there's not many people that were my fans. You know, how many people at 95 are your fans? You know, maybe once in a while I gotta go, "Hey, can I ask you, are you Chicky 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 Green?" Yes, I am, sir. Oh, I saw you once. Well, you're lucky you're out of that.
And he was a childhood fan.
Yeah, that was a young guy.
A young guy in those days.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell every kid out there, put all of those fireworks away and everything else. Every year that we used to have fireworks, I'd burn my hands, I'd burn my clothes, you know?
That's dangerous.
I don't know who started that with the fireworks.
You know, it started in 1777.
The fireworks?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it did. Yes. You know what I did? I knew that you were going to call about independence, so I went and I dug up a lot of information and stuff, just in case you asked me. And I'd be like a genius. I knew all about that, like I'm a history buff.
So what kind of information do you have for us?
Oh, I've got, are you kidding? I've got about the second day of July that will be the most memorable epic of the history of America. So it was the second day of July that they signed it. And then later on, Thomas Jefferson, Adams, and Franklin all said that they did it a month later.
You know, why do you think we got that screwed up?
You mean about the dates?
Yeah, why do we celebrate July the 4th? We should be celebrating Friday, July the 2nd.
Yes. Well, I don't think it makes any difference, because they even go into August with this thing. But that you just make up what you want to make up, you know. What does the date mean? The only date we got to remember is January 6th. My God. My poor country.
Well, what do you mean?
We got to love each other.
Well, you know what?
We got to have Ben Franklin, his personality, and love. He loved everything he saw.
You know what's interesting? Ben Franklin, this past March, I had never been to Ben Franklin's tomb, and I have a whole thing about this now, because Ben Franklin is buried in Philadelphia, but because he was not a president, again, he doesn't have a library, he doesn't have a big memorial, he's buried almost right in the middle of the street in downtown Philadelphia. Now, it is still it's not an operating cemetery, but it's a cemetery, and it's just, you know, I mean, it's marked, but it's sad that that's where Ben Franklin is.
Well, would it be something that Ben Franklin was living, and they tell him, they keep on running cars over you.
That's right, that's about the size
of
it.
Yeah, because poor Ben Franklin's got to move every time. He hears a horn, and a Ben Franklin moves. Poor Ben Franklin.
This is where
he buried him in a printing press.
He was the father of journalism.
Yeah, he was at the printing press. And he probably would have done more things if he didn't wear those little half glasses. He wore those little pinched glasses.
That was his big trouble.
He had the hair, just the curly hair on his side. He was a cute man.
Yeah, nice little guy.
Sometimes when I'm dreaming, I dream that I lived in that past with those guys. But George Washington keeps on saying to me, did you get the message? I still don't know what message he wanted.
You know, Shecky, as we look back on the history of this country, do you have a favorite president?
Favorite president?
Yeah.
I lived during the time of Roosevelt. So my whole working life and my Navy life and my school life was Roosevelt. And the respect I have for Roosevelt and what Roosevelt did with Churchill, I think it has to be Roosevelt.
You know, a lot of people feel that, and unfortunately, he's starting to be forgotten just because of time moving on.
No, because they've got, I don't want to say it, because, but they've got guys now, Trump has no business ever running for president. And he only did it as a joke anyway. And he turned out to be a joke for all of us. But I know there's a lot of people right now that are turning me off. But that's my opinion. I went with the race book. Listen to this. Yesterday with a very, very dear friend from Georgia. Hey, talk about this. This is where he talked. Shut up. I want to tell you something. Let's go bet the horses. So we went across the street to bet the horses. And we got into a little discussion about politics. Well, can I tell you, don't ever get in a discussion with friends. With friends. We almost, when we finally left, I don't think we talked to each other.
It was like being at the track with Larry King again.
Oh, God. Oh, poor Larry King is gone. Oh, Larry King. Oh, Larry King. Do you remember when we bet that thing? They were running down the track, but my horse was way in back. Poor Larry King. What can I do? What can I do? I lost all the money on number two. So this is what I say as I hang up today. What happened to Larry King? Okay.
Poor Larry King. You know, Shecky, I was just looking at this, and not many people I can say this of, and this is reality. You were born under the presidency of Calvin Coolidge.
Okay. He never smiled. My God. I'll never forget when I was born, they showed me this picture. I went back to sleep.
Well, you know, he has the distinction of being the only president born on July 4th.
No, you know what's funny? Most of these guys, this is unbelievable, die on July 4th.
Three of them.
Oh, you know that?
I did, but I wanted to give you the credit for it.
We must have looked up the same thing.
We got the same newsletter.
Yeah, on July 4th, three of them died.
Now, can you name the three?
Yeah, I got it in my paper here.
We'll go right ahead.
No, but let's see what... It's very hard to do.
It was Jefferson.
Jefferson, Adams.
And Monroe.
Monroe, yes, poor Monroe. You want to know that they named the streets in Chicago after those guys. You know, I used to take the streetcar, and when they said, Monroe, I'd get up and look for him.
Well, you know, what do you make of that? It is very strange that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, who were signers of the Declaration of Independence, both died on the same day, same year, on July 4th. And it was the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
It never wanted to leave us. It wanted to keep on making people remember who they were and what they were. And the greatness of this country.
Did you ever hear the backstory on that, though?
No.
John Adams' last words were, Jefferson survives. But nobody had told him he had died earlier that day.
That Jefferson had died?
Yeah. Because Adams' last words were, as he was dying, he said, Jefferson survives. But Jefferson had died earlier that day.
Now, which one they didn't get along? Now, was it Jefferson and Adams?
Yes. Yeah, they didn't get along, but they patched it up later in life. Adams lived to be 90.
And how about his son?
He didn't live that long. You know, John Adams didn't even go to his son's inauguration, so there was dysfunctional families back in those days.
Yeah, and his wife was Abigail.
Oh, yes.
What a wonderful name for a colony wife. Hey, Abigail.
Well, what do you make of the fact that when we get these lists together of presidents, that it's always Lincoln and Washington? Now, Roosevelt usually comes in at number three, but why Lincoln and Washington?
Well, the Civil War was so big in our history. I mean, you can't put that aside. I mean, he put the country together, you know. That's so Lincoln and his upbringing, the way they watched his childhood and all that stuff. You very rarely hear about Roosevelt's childhood, that he lived in New York and all that kind of thing. But Lincoln, yes. And it was there was history behind everything. And who's the other one you just said history?
Washington.
Okay. Now, Washington was the father of our country. He was the first president, you know. Without him, and the guy kept on saying, sit down in the boat. Sit down already. We're gonna sit down. And he kept on, and the Washington kept on saying, where's the shore? Where's the, no, over there, to the right, Harry, to the right. You imagine a Harry and he got in the colony with the name Harry? Hey, Harry, more on the oar.
You know, it's my understanding that somebody who used to love July 4th and used to celebrate it on their television show was Ed Sullivan.
Right here on the show, I want to say this is Independence Day. I asked my wife, I said, what is Independence Day? She says, I'm going to divorce you.
That
was good. I like that one.
That was good. That was a good one. Did you ever have a spine-tingling conversation about the founders of our country with old Ed?
Oh, could you imagine that? Right here, I want to tell you about George Washington. You know, George wore, I think he was gay because he wore a wig, you know. I'm going to call myself at 6 o'clock from now on. I'm funny.
You are. Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. Because you see, he's gay. He wore a wig. Yeah.
I watch Ed now because they're replaying his shows on some of these channels, that free channels, and you know, he just looks like he has a board up his back. Or so. Did he ever relax?
Well, he had long shoulder, you know, the shoulders touched his ears, the way he walked, and just picture that.
I mean, was he like that backstage? I mean, was that him?
Oh, yeah, Gorman, he thought he was, you know, he was in a position where he thought he was so big. And it gave him the right beat. He had the best show on the tube, you know, and he had a right to feel that way. I mean, a man that was a sports writer became a variety MC. I mean, that's funny. And here he is right now, one of the great singers of the world. Bring that crunk out here and let him sing. He had, what was his name? The tenor. Mario Lanza. Right on our show today, Mario Lanza, he's back to eating a sandwich and drinking.
Why, I tell you can't do this with many people, but since we're on this morning, let's go back to August the 9th, 1959. This is the Ed Sullivan Show. I think you're going to know the guest. Here we go. Take it away.
Thank you, Ed. It's one, you know, you're one of the few people in the whole world that pronounces my name correctly.
Oh, thank you.
Shecky Green.
Thank you.
Of course, that isn't my real name, you know. My real name is Shmuel Greenfield. Yeah, it's my real name, Shmuel Greenfield. What's funny about that? Is there another Schmoyer in the audience? No, it'll look ridiculous on a marquee, though, right? Ed Sullivan presents Schmoyer Greenfield.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would look ridiculous. People driving by would look up and say, who's Ed Sullivan? And I'll tell you, I feel very honored to be on the show because I was backstage and I'm one of the few English-speaking acts that's back there. And I said to everybody, hello, they go, Pisila Donge, Patos Eduardo. And it's a funny thing because he loves European acts. You know, he can get all the acts he wants in New Jersey, but New Jersey on the expense account is only $27, right? This way he gets a free trip and everything. I just want to show you the type of thing that he brings back from Europe. Let's pretend that I'm a German performer, right, Ed? Would you mind? Would you reintroduce me for this wonderful audience?
Trust you.
Let us pretend it's my turn, and then I'll point to you.
I'm sorry.
Watch the little red light. Okay? Smile. Look, I got a dimple. You got a dimple? Were you born with your dimple?
No.
You know how I got my dimple? I used to have an aunt come around every Sunday, and she said to me, how's the mother? How's the mother?
Shaky Green on Ed Sullivan, 1959. If you want to watch that whole thing, it's on YouTube. Search Shaky Green, Ed Sullivan.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I never, in my wildest imagination, knew that I did that kind of thing on there. I never knew that I did that routine, whatever it was.
You know, Ed seemed angry with you, to be honest. I'm looking at it. He seemed a little perturbed with you.
Oh, God. Every time I talked. I told him I'm going to the washroom. He got mad, so I didn't go. So he was sorry.
Oh, Lord.
God.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. As we go through life, can I tell you, we make friends, we lose friends, we do. You know, at 95, I'm looking back at all the people that I was mad at. And I love them now. I want to see them again.
Well, if you could see Ed Sullivan today, what would you say?
Ed, well, we became very friendly at the end. Well, I was with him at the end. Ed, can I get to you? You were an only. I mean, you were Ed Sullivan, and there's no other person that could have done what you did. You had a show. Shaky, I want to tell you something. If I had a show right now, I'd give you an hour. But not in front of the camera. In that toilet, I wouldn't let you go into.
Oh, I gotta catch my breath this morning. Holy moly. When you live to be 95, that on August the 9th will have happened 62 years ago. 62 years ago. Does it seem like that?
That I did that show?
Yeah, 62 years ago.
I can't count that much because I went to the bookstore the other day and I lost and I had to count 62 and I ran out of there. I didn't pay him. I had 61, but I didn't have 62.
Now, if Larry came back today, Larry King, would you have anything to say to him?
Oh, yeah. It's good to see you again. Larry, and anything that we had before, it's good. What's that? You still don't like me. Are you fighting with your wife? Larry? Goodbye, Larry. I'm sorry that you had to go. Goodbye, Larry. I gotta borrow dough. We're going to the truck. Okay.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but since we are talking about Independence Day here, and we are all about immigration in this country, you know, we take your sick and your poor, your old friend Hervé Villachez is a representative. Well, if you saw him today, what would you say?
I want to tell you something. If you keep on digging, then I'm Cuban, Mexican, I'm French. I don't like you. I want to tell you something. Don't talk to my wife. He didn't want you to talk to his wife. The wife went to bring me coffee. He says, no, don't bring him coffee. Don't put any cream in it.
No, he threatened to kill you, for people who haven't heard. Or did he threaten to kill you or shoot you? Which was it?
He wanted to shoot me.
Wanted to shoot
you. I talked to his wife. He said, I want to tell you something, I'm going to shoot him. And then Ricardo says to me, he's just got one bullet in it. I said, well, that one bullet should be for me. I want to tell you something, Shaky, it could be.
You know, this is a good bit we've got going here. People who you didn't necessarily get along with, what would you say to them today? Colonel Parker. Colonel Rob Parker.
Parker. Parker, I was the one that dressed Presley. I told Parker to go get those clothes. Nobody's ever written. Well, I think one person in Germany wrote about that. He says, "Weiß, ein Schweinsritten, der Heiden, Duten, Platt, with the Crows." Yeah, remember that. And,
now, you didn't see eye to eye with Colonel Tom Parker, did you?
Well, Parker, let me tell you, I watched Parker, what he did with this kid. And
Elvis Presley, we should mention.
He kept him from becoming a real actor. And the kid had the ability to be actually a dramatic actor. He was talented. That's the funny part about it.
Now, when you were having a conversation with Colonel Tom Parker, Elvis Presley's longtime manager, how would that go?
Well, Shaky, I want to tell you something. Hanicole, I was a seller of Hanicole, and that we sold that like out of a wagon, you know. And then all of a sudden, along came this kid with his voice, and somebody said, "Why don't you manage him?" And I said, "Well, why?" He goes, and the guy said, "He's gonna make millions." I said, "Oh yeah, I'm his manager, you know." And I want to tell you, and then all of a sudden I found Las Vegas, and I started to gamble, and he did gamble, Colonel Parker. And, well, I want to tell you, Colonel Parker was an all right man, but the way he guided his career, I don't know.
Didn't he try to sell you some Hanicol?
No, Hanicol. Are you kidding? I would have been dead. 95? I would have been dead at 35. My God, Hanicol. There was another guy with him. The one guy that put him in the Hanicol. The guy in New Orleans, because I lived in New Orleans. I don't know. But he was one of those kind of guys that sold out of a wagon.
Now, for people who don't understand, how would you describe what Hanicol is?
Hanicol is 2 ounces of regular alcohol, scotch, with 4 drops of vinegar, of 2 drops of kerosene, one drop of an orange to give it color, and then could go directly to the mortuary.
Well, but you know, Colonel Tom Parker, we're talking 4th of July here, he seemed like a very American guy, like he could give you a spiel on America.
Oh, yeah, he'd give you a spiel on America. He'd take everything you had. Are you kidding? He was one of those kind of guys that, you know, you said, "Gee, what a nice guy. He's from the South." I just want to tell you, I want to borrow $50. No, not 55. Not 55. No. What's that left in your pocket? Uh-huh. Is that a wallet? Uh-huh. I'll have that. He was, you had to look out for the Colonel Parkers of the world.
Now this is, I don't think we've ever done this before, but two of those people we just spoke about, their lives intertwined, because Elvis is famous in a way for his appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, can you imagine the negotiation that went on between Ed and Colonel Parker?
Oh, my God. First of all, let me tell you something. Presley, the girl said he couldn't shake and everything. I told him, Al Jolson, if you ever watch Al Jolson just says, "Oh, look at mammy, he go across the stage, boom, dancing across the sunshine south. Oh, I want to tell you, mammy." Yeah, and he danced across the stage, and he would jump, and he would dance. And now they give credit to Presley. Presley did nothing. My God, Presley later on didn't even change his own jacket, you know.
No, you are the last one left who had personal relationships with Colonel Parker and Ed Sullivan. So in your mind, what would that negotiation have sounded like?
Ed, I want to tell you, and I mean this, and I also say, he's got to get that $2 million. No. I want to tell you something, Parker. You weren't even good when you were a pen. The Parker Pens. I don't know where that came from. You're too young to remember that, the Parker Pen.
Do you think these two type A personalities got along?
Yes, because he wanted the kid on the show so badly. Yes, they got along. And then he became a star, Sullivan, because he said he was the one that put him on. I want to tell you something. I put Elvis on, and it was all over the papers. There was a big thing about him being on the show.
You know,
I don't know. There were other kids that did things that, Steve Gourmet. I mean, my Steve Gourmet. Look at it. I put the two names together.
Well, you know, just think that probably the most famous Ed Sullivan appearance was the Beatles.
My friend brought him in. My friend had him at the stadium. My friend, and this is the honest to God truth, Abe Margolese in New York, brought him in Shea Stadium. He didn't sign them for more appearances. He let them go after this one appearance that he hardly got any money for, and millions were made. My friend was in the jewelry business. He was a robber. He robbed diamonds and stuff. No, he sold jewelry.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the other act on the night that the Beatles premiered on Ed Sullivan was Allen and Rossi, Marty Allen and Steve Rossi.
Oh, my God. What a terrible, terrible act to be with the Beatles.
Yeah, I bet that...
I love Marty and I love Steve, but that was a terrible act.
What was wrong with Marty Allen's hair? Well, what did he do there?
He stuck a finger in an electric socket before he went on.
You
like that?
I liked it. Well, because I had Marty on the show a lot, and I liked Marty Allen. He was a very good guy. He could be funny with that hello dare. And he was
Marty.
He was good, but you know, he was always a little... I don't know what I would say. He was a more serious guy on the telephone.
Well, he read a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Because he used to send me books, you know. But he didn't realize it was the same book he was sending me all the time. It was a dictionary.
You know, he married a very young woman.
Well, I don't know about those things. He married a very young... I don't know what that means. It's just that he didn't marry an old woman.
He didn't marry an old woman. Well, you know what I'm thinking about today, again, on as we head into Independence Day, is that British woman still living in Gay Ballard's house?
Yes, oh my God. Hello, Shirky. Yes, I'm taking care of the dogs. Well, they must be 40 and 50 years old. Yes, they don't move much.
Well, I got the trophy.
Wait a minute. I'm enjoying me.
Well, I got to tell the audience who may not understand this that Kay Ballard, who was on this show and a good friend of Shecky Green's.
Oh, I love her.
Kay was wonderful, and she died a few years ago, but when Kay was alive, you'd call her house, and this British woman would answer.
Yeah.
And you never really knew who she was, and it always sounded, you know, like it was cocktail hour when you called and talked to this woman.
Yes, hello. Are you on Kay? Your Kay's in the other room. Then she leave the phone down, never come back.
No, you never know.
The other room was in London.
I remember one time I called, and she wasn't sure if Kay was there. And I said, well, can you check? And never heard from her again.
Yeah, but she was, I'll tell you, she's still in that house.
Oh, who was she?
Kay found her, you know, like, you pick up strays. That's why you heard her call her one day, here's stray, here's stray.
But she just inherited that house, which is Desi Arnaz's house.
Yeah, she, I think she left her some money, too. You
well,
know.
I'll tell you what, Desi Arnaz, he would be...
Oh, that was his house.
Right, and he'd be turning in his grave today to know that a British woman was living in his house.
Why, did he talk so good?
Lucy,
I want to tell you something. Don't do that, Lucy.
Where was Desi from?
Desi was from Cuba.
Cuba. See, this is America. You got people from Cuba and France and, you know, all over the place, England, making it here.
Yes. You mean they're making money here and everything?
Yeah, they came here and they made it big.
But you know what? I think they're not going to say... This is a wonderful country, and it's a mixture of many, many, many people. But I don't think we're getting together right. I think we got to start this thing over again.
No. They just
took the guy's picture, the guy's statue out of the Washington. Do you know who that is?
Who's that?
Tammy, a guy by the name of Tammy. This was a guy. Well, what the heck? He did something that was wrong, and they had his statue up there. They just took it out. And some guys were saying, don't take it for no reason. Don't take it out. Leave it in. Don't take it out. I think they're going to put up Trump up there.
Oh, are
but
they?
The real Trump, no statue. Just put him up there.
Put him up there. Well, why not? He'd like that.
I worked for him in Atlantic City. I don't think I ever cashed that check.
Well, break it out and cash it now.
Geez, I better find out about that.
check on that. Now, what do you think of the current President Biden?
Well, being a Jew, the Jews automatically became Democrats. I don't know why. I mean, you're born and the guy says, Jew, take Democrat. You know? You'd wear that on your forehead. And in those days, you know, when the Jewish people came over and everything, the Democrats grabbed them first. Whoever grabbed them first, they went with. Like the Mexicans right now, I got to be Democrats. You know? As they come over from the border, they stamp them Democrat.
Democrat, yeah. Well, you know, Shecky, as I look at this, there's a lot of music involved with the 4th of July, Yankee Doodle, the Star Spangled.
Oh, you got the same paper I got. You and I gotta get together.
I know, we coordinated well. Do you have a favorite song that's associated with the holiday?
I love all of those. I used to love all of those songs. I love America every day of my life. I even married a girl. She became my wife. I said, made it sure that she was an American girl. I picked her out of this wonderful world. America, I love you. Okay.
Well, that might be a new standard.
Hey, I can write them all day long. Just call me at 6:15. I just found out I wake up.
Now, Shecky, as we head into this 4th of July holiday, what message do you have for the listening audience out there?
I want to tell everybody, when you see some love, not you don't have to love them and hold them and squeeze, but you just have respect for each other. That's the word, respect. We're all Americans. I don't care what country you come from. but we're all Americans. Just all of you, close your eyes and think of George Washington having to wear those clothes. Did you remember those pants, Harley Phillip? Those white pants that he wore? Huh? Harley Phillip, and yet he put them on, and he was the president of the company, a country, company, yes, but the country. But I just want to respect, that's the word.
Shecky, let's end on a note here of a musical number for the 4th of July, Independence Day.
You want me to make one up?
You can do whatever you want.
He called me at 6 o'clock, you see, and I was ready for that man from Marion. I want to tell him that I enjoyed talking to about Independence Day. I hope it never goes away. This is the greatest country in the world. There's not much more I can tell. All those other countries like Russia, they can go you know where. I don't want to spell, okay.
And as I said in the beginning, no doubt about it, after listening to the last 45 minutes, there's no question in anybody's mind, Shecky Green at 35 or 95 is the funniest, most spontaneous man alive. A classic.
I love you.
Shecky, you stay well. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th to everybody. I love you, Marion.
Thank you, Shecky.
All right.
Bye-bye. The legendary Shecky Green going like a freight train at 95. Back in 15 minutes.
The nights grew dark and lonely, and at last all of their food ran out, except a piece of bologna. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said my